From the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to Crozier Cast. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and as always, with me is your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you today?
I'm well, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. And we have a special guest with us today, and that is now Deacon Aaron Alford, who is a seminarian for our diocese. Hello, Aaron, how are you today?
Hello, I'm well. How are you?
Good. Coming at us from Denver. Beautiful
Yes,
Denver.
ma'am. Yeah.
Nice. Great. Well, we wanted to talk to you today about your vocation story, and especially for anybody out there who might be considering their own vocation, or perhaps they know somebody who they think might have a vocation. And just for people to also in our own diocese to get to know you a little bit, since you're going to be serving us soon.
You know, your vocation story, I think it's a really unique one. It's a great one. I think you're able, it's neat to see God's hand in all of it and leading you to this moment. So maybe Deacon Aaron, you want to tell where are you from originally?
I am originally from Canada, from Ontario. Grew up all over Ontario, was born in Northern Ontario, and my family moved around quite a bit over the years, until Southern Ontario was the last place in Canada that I lived before moving to California back in 2003. But we'll probably get to that part of the story.
What brought you to why did you go to California? Canada to California. Why was that?
Well, while I was in Canada, I worked with a group called Youth with a Mission, which is YWAM for short, which is mostly evangelical Protestant ecumenical missionary organization. There's actually some Catholic representation in it called YWAM Kerygma that does a lot of catechesis with youth groups and stuff. Although that was not the part of it that I was involved in. I was doing a lot of short-term mission work with high school and university students, and some very close friends of mine, Chris and Amy Whitler, worked with me there. Chris was originally from Kentucky, and his wife Amy was originally from Modesto, California. And back in 2001, they moved out to California to start a work in a low-income neighborhood there. And they were working with a small, very small local church there, New Hope Christian Fellowship. And at the time, I thought I was going to transition out of YWAM. I was starting to pursue stuff with the Second City in Toronto, which is like a comedy and improv institution. And I'd always wanted to pursue that. You know, I had no dreams of like becoming a star on Saturday Night Live or anything like that, but you can make a living, you know, you can do commercials and stuff like that. So I was starting to pursue that. Meanwhile, in Modesto, Chris's ministry with this low-income neighborhood suddenly became a homeless ministry because the neighborhood they were working with had been sold to a developer and everyone was evicted. And so a lot of his friends had become homeless after that. So one day he was visiting Canada and telling our church there about his ministry, and I just started to wonder, I wonder if the Lord's doing something here, because that sounds cool. So a few months later I visited Modesto and just went out with Chris to the parks and just encountered people. Felt very drawn to it. And I remember when I was flying out of Sacramento to come home to Canada, it just felt like I was leaving home. So prayed about it, and just a few months later I moved down to California to start this whatever it was with my close friends, and then my other close friend and his family, Jimmy Sustar, moved out about a year after I got there. And we were doing figuring out how to do ministry, relational ministry with the homeless and street community of Modesto with little to no budget, and really just having ourselves to offer people. So
So you do it. You're doing that all on the fly, huh? Just
yeah,
out there and yeah.
yeah, yeah.
That's
So,
pretty amazing. Yeah, they so you're so Canada to Modesto.
Yeah.
And then doing that street ministry there.
Yeah.
And then what was, so at this time you're not Catholic, right?
Not yet. No.
Yeah.
I'd had a couple of my Catholic, gateway encounters with some Catholic authors that I'd come to appreciate, you know, from Thomas
Merton. I don't think our listeners know that yet.
Okay, yeah.
But you weren't Catholic.
That's right. Yeah, I wasn't Catholic yet. So, but yeah, I had grown to appreciate some Catholic spirituality. Didn't really ever consider that I would become Catholic. And then when I got to Modesto, one of the volunteers that worked with us was Catholic. And we just had some really great conversations. And I was especially trying to process, you know, what I was seeing in the poor and what seemed like this dichotomy between good church folks and the poor and how they very rarely ever met each other, you know, at least in those circles at the time. So yeah, it was through my conversations with Greg that I began to see the beautiful dynamic of the church's social teaching and, you know, God's preferential option for the poor and care for the poor as seen in scripture. And it was really beautiful to me. So on that kind of level, it was starting to appeal to me. And then, yeah, through my conversations with Greg, I was really just seeking truth. And I was surprised to see that God was leading me towards the Catholic Church. And one day I was I was at a taqueria, which is always a good thing, eating burrito, my friend Chris. And Greg calls me up.
This is a Tuesday that we are, so we're recording this on Tuesday.
Yes.
Makes sense.
That's great. So anyway, he called me up and he said, you know, I was praying for you and I wanted to challenge you to really seriously consider becoming part of the Catholic Church. And it seemed kind of out of the blue to me, but I was like, okay, yeah, I'll pray about that. dangerous words. So as I did, two things started to happen. One was starting to understand the Eucharist. One day Greg took me to a little adoration chapel. And I remember just standing in that little chapel, you know, feeling the presence of Jesus and looking at, you know, what looked like a little cracker there. Just thinking, wow, that I don't think that's bread, you know, because, I just sensed the presence of Christ there. So there was that. And then even before I became Catholic, I started to sense a call towards the priesthood. So both of these things were sort of happening at the same time. And then, of course, along with just diving into Catholic theology and just beginning to appreciate the depths of what's there, along with just the Catholic, you know, spiritual teaching, devotional Catholicism, I guess you could say. That was different from, you know, what I'd grown up with or had previously experienced in my 20s, and just found all of these things were so beautiful, and I just began to feel drawn in.
That's, you know, it's interesting you say that. My first assignment, 98, back in Phoenix, met a young man while playing basketball before our youth group. And got to know him pretty well. He wasn't Catholic, although he was going to Catholic school. And I remember just saying to him one day, and I just said, I think, you know, I always had a sense that I felt that the Lord was calling this guy to be a Catholic priest. And right before he did become Catholic, this was a year or so later, I did mention that to him. I'm not the one that initiates the vocation. God is the one. And he can place it on someone's heart and then also move someone else to maybe help to initiate that call too. And here you're saying, I wasn't even Catholic, but I was thinking about the priesthood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Lord had placed that on your heart a long time ago.
Yes, he had. So this is where it gets very, very funny, and just kind of, well, it's one of those things the Lord does. So when I was 19 years old, this is several years before moving to Modesto, I was in a prayer meeting with some other Youth with a Mission people, workers, whatever. And as someone was praying over me, he was saying, you know, I'm just getting a sense that, like, there's something really significant about your name and your calling, because Aaron was a high priest of Israel, and he brought the people before God and God before the people. And I think there's really something really significant there for you. And I really took that to heart. And, you know, over the next 10 years, really, that's really what I was thinking when I was doing any kind of ministry, is just being that sort of presence for people, that priestly presence in some way. And then especially when I came to California, like that went even deeper, you know, that I was thinking about ministry in this sort of priestly way. And, you know, over the years, the Lord had dropped a couple of, you know, his little sort of tips of the hat or his little God jokes in, you know, with that thing about my name coming up or whatever in sort of random places. So then suddenly I'm in California and I'm thinking about the Catholic Church. And at this point, this is again where it gets confusing and funny, but I'm thinking about coming into the church. So I would often go to, you know, like the 8 o'clock mass at the Catholic Church in Modesto, and then go to the 10 o'clock service at New Hope, because they, you know, they supported us. They gave us all our resources for ministry. And it was a very, very small little church of maybe, you know, 20, 25 people on a good Sunday at the time. And so much more informal setting for church. So one Sunday in October, I went to Mass, and the reading for the day was from Hebrews chapter 5, which says about Christ's priest, or about the priesthood, that, you know, no one chooses this for himself. He is called by God, as Aaron was. And I felt like, I don't know, like Jackie Chan just like wrist punched me in the chest, you know, palm punched me in the chest. And I was like, oh my gosh, that whole thing about my name, like, what if it's like way more literal than I thought before? And so I was really kind of shaken. And then that was at like the 8 o'clock mass. And then I went to the 10 o'clock service at New Hope. And Pastor Ken gets up there to preach. And he's like, and the other passage I want to look at is this. Hey, Aaron, could you read this passage for us from Hebrews chapter 5? So I was, yeah. And then a few other things happened that weekend that just sort of, the Lord was coming on strong with this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It was sort of a windy road from there, but, the shortest version of that story is that, within a few days of my confirmation, that happened about a year or so later, I felt really very sure that God was calling me to at least be single. And I had a sense, you know, I was about 95% sure that priesthood was ahead for me.
Yeah.
I just didn't know where.
Right after receiving, being strengthened. Yeah, right after strengthened with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right after that.
Yeah,
Once he gives the call, he doesn't take it back. We might not cooperate with it, but once God calls us, and, you know, he knows us better than we know ourselves, he knows precisely what our call is, and we might, you know, we might fiddle around a little bit and not cooperate with it well, or maybe we won't listen to it at all. But once he gives the call, he doesn't take that back.
And
you can see that with, he's putting all these little instances in your life.
Yes. Yeah. The funniest one, just to mention real quick, one of those funny little jokes that God likes to make. So I remember at one point where I was just really struggling, like, Lord, this priesthood thing, I can't stop thinking about it. And again, I don't think I was even confirmed yet at that point. but I was home in Canada and I went to the thrift store. I was like, all right, Lord, if you're calling me to be a priest someday, then let there be one of those priest shirts in this thrift store. I mean, when are you ever going to see clerics at the Goodwill or whatever? And I look at the shirts. There's a row of like 10 of them. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's hitting you over the head with it. That's
yes. Yeah. You know. So as you come to be able to give your yes more freely, it's something that moves into the interior, you know?
So you were, after you became Catholic, mm-hmm. you connected with one of the priests in our diocese, Father Josh Mayer. He was up in Northern California doing a mission appeal in our diocese. You know, we go around, do mission appeals, essentially beg for money so that we can continue the mission of the church here in the, you know, the mm-hmm. Diocese of Gallup, which is the poorest in the United States.
Yeah.
And so you met Father Josh.
Yeah. So that flashes forward about 10 years. So in the meantime, like I'd always thought I'd be, if I was to be a priest, it would be the Franciscans or Capuchins or something like that. And ultimately, after a lot of prayer, I just felt like God wasn't calling me away from our ministry and my community in Modesto at that time. I just sort of said, well, Lord, I hope when the time and place comes along, I'll recognize it and I'll be able to say yes, you know. So flash forward to 2015, I think Father Josh had just been ordained a few months at that point.
Yep.
He was visiting my parish. And just some of the stories he was telling about his ministry in Gallup just really resonated with me. And it reminded me of my first few years in ministry in Modesto, actually. And I wasn't thinking at that point, oh, maybe God's calling me to Gallup. It was more like, okay, I enjoyed this guy's story, his stories and what he was talking about. And I thought it would be worth introducing myself after Mass, you know? So I introduced myself and we kind of hit it off. And then it was about a year later that Father Josh asked if I'd like to come out and do a Theology on Tap talk about our ministry, again, because there was these, you know, touch points of similarity between what I was doing with my community in Modesto and what was happening in Gallup, you know. So it was when I spent a week in Gallup, stayed at the cathedral there with Father Josh and Father Keller at the time. And I just saw, man, I just saw, first how beautiful the priesthood looked in the Diocese of Gallup and the diocesan priesthood, as well. Again, cause I'd never pictured myself as a diocesan priest. But what I saw of its expression in Gallup was just so beautiful. And then just the beauty of Gallup itself, this incredible, unique culture that's there between the Native American and Hispanic and Anglo culture, each of which I'd experienced in different places, but never all three together like that before, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, just the beauty of the land as well helped to sell it. So yeah, I call back to that flight that I was taking out of Sacramento to fly home to Toronto back in 2002 or whatever. When I was flying out of Albuquerque to go back to Modesto, again, I just had this sense of like, I think this is it. Like I'm leaving home right now, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So I returned to Modesto, and as I processed this with my closest friends, who, although they are not themselves Catholic, are very strongly Christian and practice listening to the Lord, and they just know me so well. They just affirmed what I was sensing, you know, and affirmed my. I think this is where God is leading you, you know.
So we did a bit of a discernment together,
mm-hmm.
And then you eventually applied. We invited you to, and then you applied for the diocese.
Yeah,
were accepted. And then I sent you to the Josephinum, which is in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And so you were there for how many years?
I was there for 3 years.
3 years.
So, yeah, got my philosophy.
And then after 3 years, you went to St. John Vianney in Denver, Mile High City. Yeah. And you did the spirituality year, which is a real blessing, right? And then you did, you're in your third year of theology right now, correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right. Yeah. And so recently you joined the clerical state, right?
Yes, I did.
You're ordained a transitional deacon.
Yeah.
So, you know, essentially once you're ordained a transitional deacon, the priesthood's a done deal.
Yeah.
But you need some time to be a deacon. So you're going to have a little over a year as a deacon. And part of that will be, most of that actually is going to be in the seminary. Mm-hmm. But then also part of it, I recently gave you your summer assignment.
Yes.
Pretty exciting. So it's reconnecting you with somebody that you first met when you came to the diocese, Father Keller. So you're going to, you'll be over in the Grants area ministering as a deacon with Father Keller, which is exciting. So that's it'll be your summer assignment.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that.
How's it been? So you've been a deacon, what, 3 weeks now? Three, 4 weeks? Three? Two? Three?
Two, I guess.
Time flies. I know.
Yeah. It's hard to...
Friday night of Easter week. Yeah, right?
Yeah, the 5th. Yeah,
Friday night of Easter week. And then you assisted with a couple masses that weekend with me, confirmation masses, first communion masses, which are pretty exciting. Yeah. So this summer, what are you looking forward to the most this summer in your assignment?
Oh, man. I it's maybe a bit of a cop-out to say all of it. But I remember...
That's a very St. Therese answer.
Yeah.
You know, I choose all. So it's a very St. Therese answer. So I'll accept it.
Sure. Well, I'll put it this way. Last summer... at my assignment in Farmington, I remember going with Deacon Jim Betts there to do hospital visits. And two things, like just how, what an honor it is to be invited into these really intimate moments with people, moments of, you know, we might be going to bless someone who just had a baby, and then we're, you know, there to give communion with somebody who is very, very ill or has had an accident or whatever, you know. And so I remember just feeling so honored to be there in that moment. And then also with that, just feeling such a deep desire to be able to be there in a more priestly role, or, you know, to be able to give even a diaconal blessing in some way, but to be with people in more of a role of being able to offer them something just a little more, you know? So I think part of what I'm really looking forward to this summer is being able to experience these ministries, and even just being with people, but as a deacon, and as someone who is soon going to be a priest, you know.
Have you baptized anyone yet?
Not yet.
That's the most exciting thing for me as a deacon, transitional deacon. I was still in the seminary in Los Angeles. So I was helping out at the Holy Family Parish in South Pasadena. Mm-hmm. And I remember one Sunday, that was my first baptism. And I just remember I was flying so high when I returned to the seminary that night. That I got to baptize somebody. You know, when I was ordained a priest, my first baptism was my niece, Kerrigan. I remember that too. But I remember my first baptism, where it was, and Sunday afternoon, and it was exciting. So I'm excited for you to baptize somebody this summer. We'll have to make sure we get that on Father Keller's list of things to do for you.
Yes.
So you'll be ordained a priest. Mm-hmm. A year from June. Do we know the date yet? It's the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's when we do it here in our diocese.
Yeah, I believe that's 2025.
You think maybe?
I think maybe.
Yeah, certainly a calendar. Yeah.
So
that will be.
I've heard.
That would be very exciting. I think with anything here in our diocese, this is a tradition I started. The guys are ordained on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I just think every priest has to have a very special devotion to Our Lady. I always think about Fulton Sheen. You know, he made the promise on the day of ordination that he would celebrate every Saturday, he would celebrate the Mass dedicated to Our Lady. And you can see how Our Lady really watched over him, watched over his priestly ministry. So you'll have a special little day and a special little connection with Our Lady. So we probably should, to wrap things up, what else? Anything else on your mind, or anything else you're excited? Anything you else want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it's so worth it. And speaking as somebody who's in, you know, an older vocation, you know, I never felt like I was running from where the Lord was calling me. He just had his own timing in mind, you know?
Sure.
And so I entered seminary at 43, which is
a little bit of college, right?
Not much, you know.
But that's the amazing thing. You didn't let that detour you. You knew that God was calling you, and this is where you needed to go.
Yeah, and I guess by way of encouragement for someone who might be listening, who maybe they feel like they've ignored it too long, or I'm too old, or I can't make, you know, this kind of change in my life right now. You know, you can go for it and trust God. If he's leading you, he'll make this happen. And you don't have to discern this alone, you know, this is something that you discern with the church. And so you don't have to have it all figured out before you call up the director of vocations, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if God's calling you to it, and you answer that call, that's where you find your greatest sense of happiness, because he knows precisely what it is that is best for us, and because we know we'll be serving the Lord and doing his will. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so you probably, what do you have, a couple more weeks, two, three more weeks of classes, and then?
Yeah, about three more weeks or so, yes.
Okay. Good. Final. Finish strong.
Thank
Expect
you.
All A's.
Okay.
All right. I'll see. Well, thanks for that. Thanks, Deacon Aaron. Thanks for being on with Suzanne and me today. And we'll just continue to pray. And I want to throw the last little word in. Jesus looks at the people. They were coming to him, and his heart's moved with pity because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he says, beg the harvest master to send laborers into the vineyard. And Augustine, you know, famously said, you know, in prayer, we are beggars before God. In other words, pray to God to send laborers into the vineyard, and that the laborers will have the ears to hear. I think that's key.
So, Bishop Wall, I know that we usually ask for your blessing, but would you mind terribly if today we ask for Deacon Aaron's blessing to close us out?
Yes, I would. No, I'm just kidding you. I ordained him, so I don't mind that at all.
Well, thank you. Well, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Deacon Aaron, and our prayers are with you. And thank you, Bishop Wall, again for another episode.
Thanks, everyone. God bless.
Thank you.